Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. The Nashville Predators season comes to an end last night. They win 5-1 against the Dallas Stars. And now we get into what is going to be a very, very interesting offseason for the Predators. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Alex Doherty from the Tennessean, who does a great job covering the Nashville Predators. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. The season is finally over, and we can focus on never remembering that this season ever happened again.
I think a lot of Predators fans would love to sign up for that. So, Alex, let's just start here. I mean, we've known that this has been a long slog to the end of this for a while now. And now that we've finally gotten to the end of this point, it's decision time here. So, Andrew Brunette, obviously, has been in the crosshairs of a lot of Predators fans throughout the year. I think a lot of Predators fans are expecting that there could be a move made at the head coaching part of this. What about you? What do you make of where things currently stand with Andrew Brunette, and how likely do you think it is that the Predators could move on from him?
If I had to guess right now, I would say Andrew Brunette is back for next season. But really, if you think about it, I was thinking about it on the drive home last night, and I said, basically, all that really means is Andrew Brunette gets two more months, right? He gets October and November of this next season to prove that he can so he's had two seasons, right? He's had a good season and he's had a poor season. He has two more months to prove that that the good season is really what he can bring, and that the bad season was just a fluke, right? Because if no matter what happens this off season, if they go into next year and by Thanksgiving are no better than they are now, or worse, or even just a little bit better, if they're not clearly much better than they are now, I think he's gone by Thanksgiving, right? By December, Trotz follows the sort of usual pattern of teams that fire their coach midway through the season, kind of like the Blues did, and then find another coach, and then maybe see what go from there. I think Brunette is in a fortunate position, a very fortunate position to having Barry Trotz as his boss, right? Because Barry Trotz is used to – his whole experience in the NHL has been you've got to give your coach time. And he had the advantage of having that while he was coach under David Poile. He's told stories many times about how there were times where he thought he was going to get fired, but they stuck it out and it worked out in the long run. And they found success and things worked out. And I think the same kind of thing happened with Barry when he was in Washington, and that worked out. So I think Brunette has the advantage that Barry Trotz knows you can't just, you have to have some loyalty and some consistency as long as Brunette is doing the things as long as Brunette is also focusing on what he can fix. And to that, I would go to what he said last night after the game. He had some really interesting comments about how, you know, he said something like, I'm going to lock myself up for a while and figure out some solutions and figure out what I did wrong, what I can do better, as opposed to just saying like, you know, well, we sucked. We'll see what happens next year. He knows that he's got to do a lot of work too. So if I had to guess, I would say he's back.
That all makes sense, Alex. A couple follow-ups. I guess I'm going to try to make it a two-question question. One is, I hear what you're saying about, I mean, that totally makes sense. That's how things work in this league. Are we sure that Trotz, if he does keep Brunette, and I think we'd all guess he would right now, that he would follow the traditional path of, okay, well, it's not working out at Thanksgiving, let's fire the coach. And also, if that's the way they go, I mean, like you said, you just mentioned the Blues. You know, they are the absolute – that's their brand, right? It's like fire a coach midway and just absolutely turn it around, you know. But what's the cost-benefit of, like, if you're going to go in a different direction, giving yourself a full off season with the new coach, as opposed to, I know that sometimes those obviously those firings and hirings in season can jolt a team, but you know, isn't there a case to be made that, yeah, you know, if it's that close, that you should just let the next coach, you know, fully install everything and have a new direction going into next year?
I think the answer to that is Barry Trotz has to be pretty honest about what he did wrong for this season. I think that the plan of going into the season with your center depth the way it was flawed from the beginning. You know, they went into it with Tommy Novak as their top line center, and that was probably the biggest mistake they made all year, is they did not have a real center at the top of the lineup that mattered the most, playing with Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. Like, that was probably the worst decision of the offseason. I think also he knows that obviously they will never say this, but Barry knows that goaltending was a big problem this year, and that has almost nothing to do with Andrew Brunette. Like that, I mean, other than the fact that the defense in front of them wasn't as good, I mean, UC Saros had a terrible year. I mean, his numbers just reflect that. And I don't think Barry could look at Andrew Brunette and say, well, why wasn't your goaltender better? Having said that, coaches do get fired when there's bad goaltending. So that happens a lot, but, I just feel like after this next little couple weeks stretch of analysis and conversation, but with players and everything, I feel like Barry would probably admit that there's a whole lot more than just like the system or what the coach is saying. There were a lot of flaws from the beginning, that the plan from last summer to just like spend a bunch of money and try to build a team was not good enough. And maybe this is being a little painting a rosy picture of how Barry Trotz would see it, but like I just feel like he's got to look at himself and think, I didn't necessarily set up the right system here for them to succeed. We need to retool some things, fix the back end, fix the center position, and try it again and see. And like I said, that's why I think, you know, obviously if Brunette is back, he is going to be on a very, very short leash, and he basically gets two more months, like 25 more games to see if he can prove that this is a success. So I think Barry has a lot to examine with himself as well as Andrew Brunette does.
So Alex, how much do you think that his decision, and by his, I'm talking about Trotz's, to bring Brunette back or to not, has already been made? And how much of it do you think is reliant upon like what he uncovers here in the exit meetings? Like, it was interesting, he was on with Stillman yesterday, and Stillman gave him the opportunity to say that Brunette's coming back, and he wouldn't do it. He said, you know, he's still got to go through the process here. So, like, how much do you think, you know, depending on what he hears with some of these players, whether it's Stamkos or Marchessault or pick your veteran, like how much of an open door do you think there is there in terms of making that decision fully after he hears from those guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I that's a good question. I think he's probably willing to listen to a lot of options, but he also knows that like he has more information than all of them, you know, on like what decisions were made, you know, why Brunette did what he did on a certain lineup decision. And he probably knows, he obviously is coming at it from a coach perspective. So he's always going to, I'm just picturing a scenario where Barry's in a room with a player and the player's complaining about everything that went wrong and saying it was this, it was that. Barry in the back of his mind is going to have a coach's instinct to be like, well, you don't know exactly what happened. You don't know why that he made that decision. There's probably something else about it. So I'm obviously guessing here. I'm not in the room there and knowing what's happened, but I feel like Barry knows the advantage here is that Barry has been a coach and he knows how balancing, you know, personalities and balancing skill type and play type and who's playing well and who's not playing well, who's playing hard, who's not playing hard, is a lot harder. So like, if he just gives if he goes through it all and every player is like, you know, the system is broken. Brunette doesn't know what he's doing. It's all broken. He's going to have to consider that. But I also just – I don't think that that's what players are going to think. I think players like Bruno. I think that they know that they did not perform. I think they shot poorly all year. Their offense was bad because they were shooting bad, not necessarily because they couldn't find chances. And again, like I said, the goaltending, it starts with the back end. Like they were letting in way too many goals they shouldn't have, and losing games because of it. So I think he has not. I do not think that he has made up his mind. I think he's honest when he's talking to Jared Stillman there to say, I don't think that he knows for sure. Yep, I'm not bringing him back. I think it would take a lot for him to have those conversations and come away and say, you know what, it's time to let Brunette go.
Alex, first of all, I just want to say we appreciate your time. I know that you've got a lot of preparation for the Milwaukee playoffs.
I was going to say, up, Joe, this is crunch time. This is when the show really starts.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Like, are you moving up there soon? Like, have you got your place picked out?
Yeah, I got my Brewers season tickets. I'm ready to cover the basketball team there.
The Bucks.
The
Bucks.
Yeah.
Giannis.
You're going to live there. You better know.
Yeah. I got some great places for brats. I can advise you on. But you mentioned earlier goaltending, and like you said, they will never ever say it. I mean, no one in the NHL will ever just say their goalie stunk. No one, you know, we know that. But what's your concern level with UC Saros? What's your confidence level that he can look like UC Saros again next year?
Yeah, my confidence level is not all that high. Especially when I was thinking about how, remember, you know, last off season, they bring Mitch Korn back, right? And I think the thought was two part. Maybe they knew that they had a situation with Askarov, and they were like, okay, well, we can find a plan for him, and then that kind of blew up. But also it was like, you know, Saros had a down year last year. I mean, he was not as good last year as he was the year before. So he's kind of gone down in performance 3 years now. And it resulted in probably the worst career of worst year of his professional career. Right. I don't think it could get worse. I see no way that he could get worse from this year. But is this just kind of who he is now? I think it's possible. I mean, is he just like kind of a 900 save percentage kind of guy and never going to be much better than that because of who he is? I think they're going to have to just rethink, you know, they need to have more of a tandem approach. And even though they're paying the guy a lot of money, like they've got to find a guy that can have a situation almost what Boston had with Ullmark and Swayman, where you find two guys that can do it. And you give them an equal chance, and you know each plays about 40 games, and that's what you do. And if that can improve Saros' numbers at all, that would help. But I am not confident that it's going to get much better. I don't think it can get worse. And I think there's there is something to the fact that the team didn't play well in front of him. I get that, but he just had some really bad games this year, and there's. You cannot go into next year and think, well, it was a fluke year for him, because now we have three straight years of him going down, and it's not just a 1 year off. It's a trend now, and I would be very worried that it could never improve. And you got eight long years of that, so you got to have a plan moving forward to have another guy that can balance Saros out to make it. You know, make it hurt a little bit less. I know that sounds terrible, but that's about the best you can ask for at this point.
Well, Alex, it's going to be a very fascinating offseason. We're just starting it here today, so appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Absolutely. AHL playoffs begin next week, baby. Here we go.
Let's go!
Get pumped up. Let's do it. Let's do it. Alex Doherty from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rex. All right, so we'll take your thoughts on the Predators. The season has finally come to an end. You can start to shut the door on what was just a terrible regular season. What does it mean for Andrew Brunette? What does it mean for this offseason in terms of trying to get back to a place where you can be competitive again next year? We'll get into all that next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
So are you ready today to say, hey, Andrew Burnett is coming back next year as the coach?
No, not at all. I'm going to go through a whole process. Like I said, I'm going to talk to every player. I'm going to talk to every coach. I'm going to talk to all our management, and our decision will be based on that. Ownership, everything. So I owe it to players, myself, management, all the owners. I got to do that process, and there's no time frame for me. Probably next week, once I get through all the meetings, then we'll sort of see where we are and go from there. But Andrew's a good young coach, and part of all this year is based on. I'll put blame on myself, put it on the coaching staff, and I'll put it on the players, because we have to do that together, and we didn't get it done.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday on with Jared Stillman for his weekly visit. Predator season comes to an end last night, and now the question is, Joe, what is next for Andrew Burnett? So he was given an opportunity there to say that Andrew Burnett is coming back. He did not want to do that, says that there's, obviously a process that he's got to go through here. Did not necessarily want to put a timeline on it, but did say, maybe sometime next week you start to come into a decision on that front. So, Joe, as we sit here today, how do you view where you think things may be heading on the Barry Trotz decision with Andrew Burnett?
Yeah, I agree with what Alex Doherty said there. Good interview with Alex. Well, they painted a real pretty picture there in terms of the goaltending moving forward. For the Preds. Whew, boy, tell you what. But I can't disagree with anything he said, and I can't disagree with him on Burnett. I think he'll be back, and I think it means that he's, short leash, whatever you want to call it, going into next year, hot seat, one of the hot seat coaches. That's just the only thing is with Trotz, because as Alex said, as we've discussed, Trotz was part of a very unique situation in this league where patience was ample, beyond ample. Now, granted, that's also the old expansion days when expansion teams were going to suck for 2 years for sure, and it's a different deal. But he does have a coach mindset, and so first of all, I do think that's why he's back, and I just do wonder, is he indeed going to be on a real hot seat with Trotz going into next year, and it's just going to be because, I know it works sometimes, but I also just – I don't like that as a plan. It's kind of like with the Titans. If internally you view Brian Callahan as being on a hot seat right now and man, you better show something real fast or you're out of here, I hate that in tandem with drafting a quarterback, And I also just don't like the idea of – if you have that much of a doubt about your coach, then go ahead and make the move now and just get a new coach. But I know that's what teams in this league do a lot.
Yeah, I tend to agree that it kind of feels like Burnett is going to be back. I don't know that I'm as strong as some others in that assertion. If I had to bet today, that's the way I'd put it, just based on the conversation around it and what Trotz has said. But, I do think if you're him, you got to be pretty open to what your players say here. I think this is the time where when they meet in the next couple of days here where you need to be as honest as possible with your team. Be like, everything that you think I need to know right now, if you're Barry Trotz. And I'm talking to Stamkos, Marchessault, Forsberg, Yossi, all of them. And I'm saying, O'Reilly, every thought you have about where this is headed and the coach and his factor and his role in all this, I need to know about right now. Because I think that has to be a big part of your decision here. So we'll see. I think you can be confident in your coach and trust that he has the ability to figure things out. And then get, 6-7 weeks into the season next year, Joe, and if they start poorly again, you may just be forced to make a move at that point, right? It'd be like, you know what? We gave it a shot. I was confident in the guy. I still feel like maybe he'll be a good coach one day. But if you start horribly for the third season in a row to begin a season, then that's too much of a trend in my mind, and you got to make a change. at that point. But I'd be really fascinated to see like what the players have to say here in the next couple of days and how that shapes what Trotz does.
Yeah, no, I agree on the honesty. Look, maybe this is where I guess there's an advantage of having all these like old guys who are like who couldn't give a fart at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like those guys on the on their last contracts who have seen a lot in this league, they're gonna be honest, right? Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So I think you can. Younger players might be a little bit. Nah, I'm not gonna go in there and rip the coach. You know, I'm trying to stay in this league or whatever. But they got plenty of guys who, right, they should just be feeling just fine about saying whatever they think. Now, I'm going to tell you three straight texts that we just got, Robbie, real quick on this, okay? Because I do think this is where it's going, okay? One text is Dean from Old Hickory. If the Preds replicate this season next year, should Trotz be fired at the end of the season? Ethan from Lawrenceburg. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Fire Trotz. Brian, let Barry cook. So there you go. There's your three yeah. straight texts on this. I mean, and I get it. Like it's absolutely natural, and it's fair to also look at the GM right now and wonder if there is a good direction. Now we also have Buster sent a novel, and I've had two novels on the text line today, Robbie, that are so long that I gave the I ain't reading all that, but congratulations or sorry that it happened to you response.
Yeah,
Jared from Spring Hill too. But that was I think a more impassioned defense of Trotz. I mean, look, we're still right now. There's no spinning what this was. This season was a disaster. I also wouldn't say it's that everything he's done is bad. They are in position to you know to improve things, do some good things. But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's not a passing grade. It's not a good grade.
Yeah, I mean, look, I will say, I'm confident in saying this. In most organizations, he would be fired. Like, I have no doubt in my mind about that. Most organizations
Trotz would
around
be.
The league. No, I'm talking about Brunette.
Like, Brunette.
He would be gone.
Okay, yes.
Like, he would be gone after this. Like, somebody in this league usually ends up paying the price, and a lot of times it is the coach. The Predators are a more patient organization. I mean, just go look through the history of their organization. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. So it looks like, because before the 18-game point streak, that people weren't super high on Brunette. After that, it was like, oh, yeah, we got a coach. So you got to ask yourself, is it more likely that the fluky part was the 18-game point streak, or that we're the worst team in the league and going to be picking a lottery? You know, like, one of them's true. We just don't know which is true. I think the fluky is the 18-game point streak. That's why during the streak, I was like, I would love to see this team lose to see if they could bounce back, because that's what good teams do. That's what the old Titans would do. They'd win five or six games, get smashed, and then come back and be really good again. So I think the point streak was super fluky, dude, and I think this is all just a mirage. I don't think any of it's good. Brunette's not good. Trotz might not even be good, dude. I think it's just all a mirage. I think we suck. I think we are the team that got smashed by Dallas and never really got better.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, look, Brunette, there is a track record there, Joe, of him demonstrating what I believe to be qualities of being a good coach. However, like I will say, if you want to argue the other side of it, you can. Like you can say, well, you know, before they had that 18-game point streak, it was a whole lot of not good, and they were getting ready to sell off that year. Obviously, we know the way that things went this year. And look, you know, we've talked about this before. I think people make a little bit too much of it just because of who Florida ended up with and a Hall of Fame head coach. But like the Panthers did have the option to keep him, and they didn't. So, like, if you want to go that route, you can if you're a Predators fan.
Absolutely. So, real quick, I want to ask you this. We can lead in. You can answer on the other side. You just said in most organizations, Brunette would be fired. I would agree with that. In most organizations, what's Trotz's clock?
Oh, I think it's pretty quick, and we'll get more into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Huge offseason beginning today for the Predators. What is next for Andrew Brunette? Will he be back as head coach? More coming next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame beginning at 5:49. First pitch at 6:04. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and family leisure. Also, tune in to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores take on Georgia at Hawkins Field. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available at the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. We are taking your thoughts on the Predators. And Andrew Burnett, what does the future look like now that the offseason has begun? Trotz was on with Stillman and Company yesterday and got through a bunch of interesting kind of different thoughts with Jared as the offseason gets underway here. And one thing that Jared brought up was Jonathan Marchessault. And Joe, we talked about him earlier this week about, you know, how I had heard that maybe there were some people in both in the organization and outside of the organization connected to it that maybe weren't overly impressed with him all the time this year. And still, he basically asked him, like, is Andrew Burnett the right
coach for these veteran players? Here's what Barry Trotz had to say yesterday on with Stillman and Company.
That's something that I'll investigate. That's why we do exit meetings. That's why we talk to players and coaches and all that. That's an important piece for decision making. Some teams do it a little different. I don't have the coaching career that I had. I don't think we have the foundational pieces in Nashville. If David Poile would have fired me again, you know, year two, we were able to build something together, and that's what I want to do with Andrew and anybody I bring in as a coach in my tenure as a GM. I want them to be part of a family, part of Smashville, part of the culture, all that's very important. So that's why it's really important that I do a thorough review with every player, every coach, and then we put it back together. And I'm very confident if we come back with the right attitude and do nothing, just let the kids play, we'll be a better hockey team, because I think there's enough people and enough understanding in that room that this year got off to a tough start. It never felt like we got to play some really meaningful games. You know, I thought we'd be, you know, in the be like Calgary. We'd be fighting there right to the end and get into the, you know, if we got in the playoffs. And I thought we got some game changers, that guys that give them one chance, they can shoot the puck in the net. Our power play, our penalty kill has been much better than it probably was last year. Our 5-on-5 game has to get better.
So that was Barry Trotz on with Jared yesterday. Joe, I thought that the answer was interesting because he talks about how, you know, he wants to build like this family and this culture, but also says like he owes it to do a thorough investigation is what he called it, to see like what the players think and if Burnett's the right guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's I appreciate, as we've talked about many times, you know, Trotz, say what you will about the job he's done. I mean, it doesn't look great right now. His willingness to speak about these things, I do appreciate. I mean, he gives you more insight and I think more honesty on these things than most people in his position would.
So answering your question, like I said last segment, I think in most organizations, a season like this with the expectations this team had coming into it, that Burnett probably would be fired. And I believe that. I think if you went down most organizations, that's probably the way that it would shake out. Like, how does that affect the timeline for Trotz? I think in most organizations, like, he'd probably be on the hot seat heading into next year. I just don't know that I believe that he is here, Joe. Like, I think that Bill Haslam and ownership really trust him. Now, I will say this. I think the previous ownership group that did not have Bill Haslam as a part of it was patient, maybe sometimes to a fault, right? Like they were extremely patient with their coaches, with David Poile specifically. And frankly, like Bill Haslam hasn't been around long enough in this role where I know exactly what he's going to be. Like he's not even really officially taking over until this summer. Now he basically has to this point, but I am interested to see, like, does Haslam approach things differently than it's been approached here in the past in terms of his patience level and his willingness to make moves maybe quicker than we've seen here before?
Yeah. I mean, that may be a question that really gets tested in about a year, because, you know, if it, doesn't improve significantly, yes, I mean, I think Brunette at some point probably loses his job, which, like you said, I mean, that's NHL convention. NHL convention is probably right now. But also, like, GMs get fired quickly in this league too. Not as quickly, yeah, but it does happen. And this organization, it's a fantastic story, you know, really of continuity, stability, consistent success. You know, with David Poile and just the Poile and Trotz partnership, how long that lasted and all that. But you know, at some point, you also, you know, you don't have to, like, you're not going to, like, follow that storyline forever, you know?
Right.
And, you know, look, I mean, I think Trotz is, I like, you know, like, the experience he brought. I like the coach's eye for a GM. And I wasn't sitting here first guessing these signings last summer. I mean, we were both like, wow, that's a great signing. Wow, this team could be loaded. What a year, yep, this could be. But the results are the results, and that's ultimately how you're judged. And so I feel like for most franchises, Barry Trotz would be going into a critical year as a GM, even if it's only year three. We'll see if that's actually the case here or not.
So what do you think the reaction from the Predators fan base will be if they sift through this here in the next few days and Barry Trotz reaches the conclusion that Andrew Brunette is back as head coach and their strategy for the offseason is basically going to be, let's go get this high draft pick. And look, who knows? Maybe they win the draft lottery. Maybe they're second or third. And whoever they pick is able to play on this roster next year. They maybe nibble around the edges in free agency, and they attempt to go pull off a big trade. Let's say that's the strategy. That's going to be what they try to do on a trade front. Like Barry Trotz has talked about, they have draft capital and they need centermen and they haven't been able to find one, and he's going to continue to look for one. So what do you think the reaction is from the fan base if Brunette is retained here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just feel like Preds fans shouldn't be surprised, you know? So I think there's a lot of, I mean, it's probably split, maybe even more Preds fans than not would like to see the change made. I guess I'd probably guess that. But also I can't believe that it would be like outrage. I want to read this text real quick. On my point on Trotz, this texture says, I agree Trotz is honest. At first I thought it was awesome, but explaining to me why we suck and had the worst year ever and doing nothing about it doesn't make sucking and having the worst year ever feel any better, and I'm tired of it. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Like, you know, this goes back to the old adage, like, if you win, your style is great. If you lose, people don't like the way that you approach things.
Your
right?
personality, like it's totally dictated by that. Yes.
Right. And that's the way it comes down to. And look, no matter which way you slice it, if Brunette's back, if Brunette's not back, it's a massive offseason for Trotz. Like, beyond the draft pick part of it, number one, they need to hit on this draft pick, whether it's first overall, third overall, fifth overall, whatever it is. They got this player that they draft needs to be a cornerstone player for this franchise moving forward. But beyond that, you know, more in the short term, like, you got to find a way to get this turned around here. Like, I understand that he's talked about the plan, right? And the plan has always been to try to remain competitive and bring the young guys along. He also did say after they signed these guys last year that he wants to be a threat. And I don't think a threat is just like, well, I want to be a threat to make the playoffs. No, when I hear you say you want to be a threat, it's to challenge for a championship. And it would be such a disappointment if next year they're not a whole lot better, they miss the playoffs again, and you spend all this money to bring in Shea and Marchessault and Stamkos and all these guys, and you basically have nothing to show for it. Like, that's not a whole lot of people survive that in the NHL.
No doubt. Huge disappointment.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Predators. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I saw you people talking about, oh, the system is broken and we got to have rules and we need to have more regulation and we need to have...
Show me the link. Give me the link.
Oh, you all been crying about it.
Yeah, I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction. Just stupid.
Make sure the jelly doesn't look like tomato sauce, please.
Crow's here to win. We're not here to waste people's time and give us a bunch of cliches. He's here to win. Starts today.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe, I turn the floor over to you.
Thank you. Now, before I get to what I want to talk about today, a couple of housekeeping items. I do want to reiterate what I said in the 6 o'clock hour. People have asked. I did get my real ID. I finally figured it out. It ended up taking like twice as long yesterday, of course. So I waited away, but I'm like, I'm not messing this up today. I'm getting it. So now we'll see if I actually get it in time for my May 19th flight. We'll see. Should be interesting. And then we'll see if I get fired if I don't. Anyway, also, I'd like to ask you, Robbie. Now, I had Stilly on there. We heard his beautiful voice, and he has, you know, jumped all over me for getting in the text line during his show. It's usually during Jared versus Joe, and I just like some of the people are like, yeah, Jared, and I'm like, yo, shut up, idiot. I won again, but we got Vingan in the text line here today in our show, going back and forth. Is that okay? Are we okay with that?
He's got to get out.
He's got to get out.
If we're kicking Stilly out, we got to kick Vingan out.
Well, it was Stilly trying to kick me out. But,
well, Stilly, we've tried to kick
Stilly
out. We've
tried to kick Stilly out before, too, yeah.
Yeah, but for all, you know, Fridays when he hops in there.
But he says dumb stuff. I mean, Vingan's, you know, like he's it's a good conversation. Basically, Vingan, this texter Paul is talking about how, like, Vingan has kind of been all, Vingan and Willie would be a good argument, you know, with somebody else about the whole Soros thing, but Vingan's point is that he didn't cook Jared for the Soros take, which, again, you and I think are aligned with Jared, by the way, on the Soros take for the most part. But the point...
Mostly.
I mean, obviously, then he takes it too far, which is what Vingan's talking about. He cooked him because he compared his contract to Deshaun Watson, because, of course...
Yeah, I'm not with him on that.
You got to take it over the cliff. Toons is driving just fine. Everything's going fine. Then, yeah, let's go off the cliff.
Yeah.
But I want to talk today. I got to say, like, I've been pretty, I'd say... overall, certainly for the draft process, I find a lot of the commentary around this guy exaggerated, kind of silly. I think some of it may be even a little bit unfair. I like him a lot as a player. Again, I've said that many times. I think that people are making too much of something here because they don't like a certain person. Okay. But I got to tell you, man. Shedeur Sanders having his jersey retired at Colorado is just utterly moronic. Are you kidding me? I mean, again, Deion, I think he's been great in terms of entertainment value. He's also, you know, he's like one of those coaches who can't even take like an actual question without flipping out, and he has to have his own media around him and all this stuff. There's some things that are problematic with Deion. Giving Shedeur Sanders, retiring his jersey at a place where Cordell Stewart's jersey is not retired. Michael Westbrook, Eric Bieniemy, for example. These guys don't have their jerseys retired at Colorado. Now, Travis Hunter as well. Travis Hunter won the Heisman. I mean, You know, Rashawn Salaam also does have his jersey retired, by the way. I've seen some people out there saying he doesn't. He does. So, Travis Hunter, sure. Now, maybe I would argue, like, maybe wait a little bit.
Hey, has he even left the campus yet?
Yeah, but this is a new thing. This is another kind of could be a sub-rant of this whole let's immediately retire the jersey of the person who just left. I like a little bit of time before that happens. But Shedeur Sanders, he's Deion's son. He was good. Again, I like him as the best quarterback. He was Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. So it's not like there's no achievement here. Okay? 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns, all that stuff. They broke all the school pass records. That's not jersey retirement. They didn't win anything with him. Yeah, they turned around the worst program in college football and made it okay. right? They made it. I think they went 8-9 the last 2 years. So, like, good. Like, you turned it around. You were the worst. You were good. You were a good player. You had a great season. You made it okay. You're Deion's son. And I'm sorry, like, all this stuff with, oh, I would never draft Shedeur because Deion will cry. I don't give a crap. Shedeur was a good player. And I think he's gotten some public stuff that's unfair. But, like, if I were Shedeur, I would be embarrassed by this. I would actually be like, Dad, no, we shouldn't retire my jersey. Travis, yes, Travis won the Heisman. We should not retire my jersey. He is not a jersey retirement-worthy player whatsoever, and I just think it makes Deion look ridiculous.
I totally agree. Like, I had to check that the other day when I saw that on Twitter. I was like, is that real? I'd like, look and make sure that that was real. I think it's absurd. Like, I understand Travis Hunter getting his jersey retired. Again, I think it's weird that you're doing it, and he's not even been drafted yet. Like, he's not even left. So right. It's just an interesting thing. There.
Here's but your degree and your retired jersey.
And as I said earlier in the week, again, this is more of a Florida problem than it is anybody else. It's not Colorado's fault that this is the case. But it is amazing that we live in a world in college football where Shedeur Sanders is about to have his jersey retired and Tim Tebow doesn't at Florida. Like, it's pretty wild to me.
That is wild. That is very wild. And yeah, like, if you're Colorado, I understand. Colorado, I guess, is really the right way to say it, right?
I think it's Colorado.
People from there say it's Colorado. I don't know. It's like Nevada. It's definitely Nevada. People from Colorado say it's Colorado. I'm just saying. So we can debate.
I don't care what they say.
Yeah. You're Colorado, damn it. You're going to like it.
Yeah.
But if you're a, I mean, seriously, if you're a fan of that school, like, if anybody remembers, like Cordell Stewart, he was an incredible player, and they were like a legit big time winning program then. Eric Bieniemy was the star running back for a national championship team at Colorado. Like, those are guys. Like, if you're going to do this, you certainly can't do this before those guys have their numbers retired or jerseys retired.
Just wild. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL and NFL draft with him as we're a week out from the big day in the NFL coming up next week. That's next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.